School health programs are essential to achieve both our educational goals and our health goals. And it's important to remember that we are dealing with two separate organizations when we're working with health agencies and education agencies, and both come with their own set of goals. But school health programs can be used to work and achieve both sets of goals. We've already talked about the coordinated school health model as the quintessential framework for engaging schools around health promotion and prevention activities. However, I will caution you that when you walk into a school building, this framework may not be obvious to you. While it is the preferred framework that many systems across the nation use, some school systems have not embraced this idea, so you may not see this framework operationalized in some of your settings in the states that you come from. Just a word of caution. Successful partnership between public health and schools. And when we were putting together this panel, I was asked to talk about some of the examples based on my experience in Georgia public health and working in Georgia schools. So I kind of looked at the many successful opportunities that I have had a chance to work with school systems around immunizations issues. And I came up with five examples, and there were many. This was hard to kind of narrow it down, but I only had 15 minutes. So five examples that I wanted to kind of touch briefly on, talking about what this initiative was about. And then I'll close out with some of what I feel are key tips or principles of having a successful relationship or partnership with schools. And these examples are around our legislative mandates for school and daycare entry that we have in Georgia. And many states across the nation have entry requirements around immunization. Managing outbreaks, school-based vaccine programs, university research collaboration, and ongoing education. And I'm pleased to have two of my colleagues on two of these projects in the audience today. So feel free to chime in and ask questions at the end. Georgia law requires that all children attending school must be immunized. Is anyone here from a state that does not have state-level mandates around immunization? Probably not. And in my research, immunization is probably the reason we have compulsory education in the nation, dating back, you know, to the early 19th century when diseases such as measles were common. The health professionals said, how can we prevent this kind of outbreak, and what can we do to have access to children? And somebody came up with, let's just make them go to school and make them have immunizations in order to go to school, and that way we can kind of deal with the access issue. So Georgia law requires children to have immunizations for school entry. All states do, I believe, in the nation have similar laws. But how they operationalize the law can be very different. In Georgia, schools are required to, or families are required to present a certificate. The famed 3231, if you're from Georgia, is the certificate that's required. Public health officials review the certificates or audit the forms once a year to look at immunization rates and compliance with the recommendations. This gives us an opportunity to look at and take advantage of some of those teachable moments, especially as we have new immunizations to come on board for requirements for school entry, as the media hypes around certain types of diseases and disorders and immunizations occurs. It gives us a teachable moment, a ready audience to listen to what the facts are around immunizations. And many districts have taken advantage of public health staff, public health immunization experts to come in and do in-service for faculty. Managing outbreaks. We've had an opportunity to deal with outbreaks across the state, from vaccine-preventable diseases to diseases such as MRSA, for example. The prompt reporting of clusters of illnesses, not only illnesses that have a firm diagnosis, but symptoms before a diagnosis has been confirmed, confirmed, we encourage school systems to report those to their local county health departments. Communication and collaboration is key when there is an outbreak. And like Beth mentioned, it's important to have a long-term relationship with schools, to have that kind of communication and collaboration before there is a problem. This will make handling the outbreak much easier if they know you and they know what resources that you bring. The school-based vaccine program that I was privileged to be involved in was around the hepatitis B vaccine when I was school health services coordinator for a local school system right outside of Atlanta. The health department director approached the school system to see if we could put in place a school-based hepatitis B vaccine program where we would actually give the shots on campus the full series during the school year. And this initiative took about 6 to 9 months of pre-planning to talk about all the logistics of making this work happen. And what I found was very important to the success of this initiative was involving the school administrator. I asked the school principal to designate an administrator, an assistant principal, to be a part of the planning committee. And this was very important because if parents called the school, the administrators were aware of the project. If we needed permission to call students down or utilize an additional space in the building, the administrator was on board, and I didn't have to go back and explain from ground one what we were doing. So it was very helpful to have that administrator on board. We did extensive public education, both with the students and the parents. We presented at the PTA meeting, had articles in the local community newsletter, as well as the school-based newsletter. Parental consent went very well. We thought this is one area that we may get hung up on, but it went very well, and we were able to start our first dosing right after school entry, September to October. Our team consisted of 2 to 3 staff, 2 to 3 hours of the school time, and it required 2 public health nurses, myself, and a secretary to be responsible just for the traffic flow and calling students down. Our university research collaboration is another example of how we have, or how public health has successfully partnered around an immunization issue. The Adolescent Influenza Vaccination Project is one that I was very proud to be a part of, and it involved collaboration across multiple entities, both local and state-level public health, Emory University School of Medicine and the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory, and the Warren County School District. The study was a 3-arm controlled trial, and the study's purpose was to test alternative strategies for delivering influenza vaccine to middle and high school age children. And I had the opportunity a couple of nights ago to hear Dr. Wilson talk about some of the barriers to immunizing adolescents. And hopefully this study will help inform how we can do that better. My main role was in this 3-arm trial was looking at the school-based intervention. And the question that the researchers posed is how do we select which school we should go in? The Augusta Health District has about six or eight counties in that district. And what county school system would be the best to go in? Would it be the school system that had the school nurse present? Were there other successes with public health? Did we have a superintendent and principal that was willing to sit down and meet with us? And that took some time in scheduling those meetings because school folks don't work on the same calendar that health professionals work on. So we've learned that early on. So just getting the meeting to sit down was a bit challenging. But I am pleased to say that the project is moving forward and we are in the planning stage. And the vaccinations are set to start, I believe, next year. The last initiative, and probably the most important one, is that ongoing education. All of the other initiatives were kind of episodic. We went in, we did what we needed to do, and the project is over, and all is well. Ongoing education is probably the biggest impact that depends on that successful partnership. Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, one of our largest pediatric providers in healthcare, has partnered with our Georgia Division of Public Health Immunization Section, Immunize Georgia, to work with schools to increase education and immunization resources, particularly to school nurses. The Georgia Immunization Registry, or GRITS, provides a train-the-trainer at the annual school nurse conferences, and school nurses and some administrators are actually allowed to access the GRITS system. So that certificate that's required for school entry, the parents don't have to get off from work, make an appointment with the provider to get the certificate. The school can actually print that certificate and place it in the record so that the child can be registered. There was also a school nurse toolkit developed that included a CDC and resources for the school nurses. School nurses always want posters and things that they can put up in their offices and brochures, and the toolkit had examples of those kinds of resources. The brochure around vaccines for teens was produced both in English and in Spanish and has been distributed widely across our systems. And our monthly newsletter and resource email update has been very helpful as well. In addition to our contractual arrangement with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the Georgia Division of Public Health Immunization Section maintains a website where information can be posted around our major focus areas, educational resources, both for professionals and parents are posted there and can be downloaded. There's also a frequently asked questions section and a 1-800 number that operates Monday through Friday. So if there's an issue that comes up, they can call the on-call person at Public Health State Office to get a response to their questions. So what were the tips and the keys to these successful partnerships? I'm kind of biased because I am a school nurse. I am a nurse, so the key partnership advantages, meeting and knowing and engaging with a school nurse. School nurses many times are the only health advocate in the school building. Everybody else is focused on education. They come from an education background, and that's fine. And what I encourage school nurses to do is to really hang that banner as the health advocate. Don't shy away from it. You are the health professional with the degree and the credentials to support that. So that is your health advocate and your link to many interventions and initiatives within the school system. Beth mentioned Diane Allensworth, and I consider her the guru for coordinated school health. And Dr. Allensworth always says to me that school nurses can be the linchpin to that coordinated school health framework. So find out who the school nurse is. Now, all nurses aren't created equal. So you'll have those nurses that really don't want to be bothered today and tomorrow either, but you'll come across those nurses who are really eager and excited about doing something other than just passing meds and dealing with the common school clinic kinds of activities. They make referrals to community partners. Many have relationships with community providers, especially in our rural communities in Georgia. The nurses are very connected with those community providers. They have the ability to monitor and track health information that can be as sophisticated as a computer-based, web-based database, or as unsophisticated as a paper pencil log, but they can help track student health information. They provide school health services on site. They communicate frequently with parents, and parents kind of trust nurses and the school nurses in a different way than they can trust school teachers or counselors. So take advantage of that. And they also work with PTAs. Some of the other tips for successful partnerships. The one that I like, if you're familiar with some of the principles from Stephen Covey, seek first to understand. So if you are looking to work with schools, you have an initiative, you know there's a problem, look at what the issues are with that particular community and that school. Understand their perspective. We know that influenza vaccinations are not that popular in some cultures and communities. What are the barriers and what are some of the thought processes behind that? So seek first to understand. And then to communicate regularly, not when there's a problem are not when there's a TV show stirring up controversy, but around just on a regular basis for no reason. Hi, you know, here I am from the health department. I've got some brochures, or can I present at your PTA meeting, or how's things going, or, you know, here's a box of donuts. Well, I'm public health, so maybe here's a basket of fruit. Okay. Something to communicate regularly when there's not an issue. Identify a key contact or champion. And this is very critical, because many of us that work in public health are not within the school building every day. And having a person in that building every day as your champion can be key to getting your work done. That internal champion can stop the principal in the hall and say, you know, you got a memo from the health department. Have you had a chance to look at it? And they can address that and help you arrange meetings with the administrators if you need to. So that administrative buy-in is very critical. Provide technical assistance and training. Many of our local health department staff will go in and do staff development days with the teachers and with the school nursing staff. And then to share and integrate data. And this is one area that we're, you know, that can be challenging, because education data belongs to education, and health data belongs to the health department. And there's an opportunity to work closer together around sharing this data so that it's important for everyone to look at what's happening. Create resources that address issues. Start with small, achievable goals to have some of those win-win situations, and highlight and build on successes. The key to success is having a success. So if you're successful one time, the likelihood for you to be successful and have inroads with that school system increases. And that concludes my discussion. Any questions, or do we want to do questions now?